Well, golly, I am a caver. I love caves. They're cool and comfortable and really nice in the summer. But I'm not an expert. And in the studio, we do have experts. Sondra Arazi Combs is the archaeologist with Cibola National Forest. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Linda Starr is from the Sandia Grotto. You all are spelunkers.
Well, we don't call ourselves spelunkers. We call ourselves cavers.
Okay.
So,
Got it.
yeah, the spelunkers word kind of got dropped
because nobody could spell
in
it.
the 1960s because it sounded too much like lunking, and we didn't like that lunking kind of terminology because we actually do studies, we do surveying and exploration, and it's serious work. So it's not lunking around.
Well, we want to talk to you about a particular cave today, and it's called Sandia Cave. And studios, the questions in our from our crew are already here, so go for it, Elliot.
Where is Sandia Cave?
Sandia Cave, this is Linda. Sandia Cave is on the northwest side of the Sandia Mountains. It's located up Los Huertas Canyon. So you go up by Placidas and you follow the road up Los Huertas Canyon, and there's a parking lot. You look to the left, and if you look high enough, you'll see a stairway going up into the rock face. And that's Sandia Cave.
I've always accessed it the other way from the top of the mountain. Coming down. So I'm like, on the left? No, it's on the right. That road that goes between the Sandia Crest Road and Placidas is the road where Sandia Cave is on. And it's funny, one of our moms here in the studio says she bikes that road all the time and has never noticed the cave. So kudos to you for making it so low profile. I know we have a couple other questions in here. Yeah.
How old is the cave?
The cave is estimated to be about 3 million years old. It is in the Madeira Formation, which is a limestone formation, and it's Pennsylvanian age. And those are kind of terms that not too many general people understand, but geologists refer to it that way. 3 million years old.
3 million years old. Wow. There's a lot of rumors that abound about Sandia Cave. I know the girls have a question over here.
Was there really a Sandia man?
Okay, that's we. I think we need to come to Sandra.
Yeah. Hi, this is Sandra. I'm the archaeologist with the Cibola National Forest. Well, actually, it's kind of a mistake in a sense. So Sandia Man Cave was given to the cave after an excavation that was conducted by Frank Hibben in the 1930s. He did some excavation. He dug inside the cave, and he found. So basically, when you are excavating in any archaeological site,
Meaning
anything
digging, meaning digging in the cave.
Digging in the cave in a scientific way, though. When you're excavating, the things that are on the bottom, when you're digging a hole, anything that's on the bottom is going to be older than anything that's on the top. So he found, and then anything that's in the same depth is usually thought to be about the same age. So when he was digging in Sandia Cave, he found megafauna, and those are big animals that lived a long time ago. So think like woolly mammoth or saber-toothed tiger. He found those type of fossils in the same place as he found artifacts that were left by people, or he thought he did, at least. But what it turned out is that wasn't exactly the case. Even though the cave has been used by people for about 10,000 years, he thought that it was 24,000 years and that people had been living in the same time. So they called it, and that was really, really a significant thing to think that it was 24,000-year-old, because that would have been the oldest site, the oldest archaeological site, and the oldest human evidence of humans being in the land, in all of North America, all of the Americas, really. So that was why it was called Sandia Man Cave, because it was really significant. But it was actually shown that that wasn't the case, that there was a mixing of basically, so if you're digging that hole and there's animals that come and sometimes they would burrow into, so thinking of like a ground squirrel or something that builds a big hole in the earth. So sometimes they bring that stuff from the bottom up to the top. And so then you wouldn't get the layers, wouldn't be all the same. And so now you would have stuff that's older mixed with stuff that's younger. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But then that, of course, begs the next question, which is easy to follow up with, which is...
How long have people lived on the mountain, and how do you know that?
Well, people have lived... What we know is that people have lived... Sandia Cave is one of the oldest sites that people have used the mountain. It dates to about 10,000 years. And we know that by... You know, any time that people use the ground or they use things, I mean, think about all of the stuff that you use in your life, you know, from your games, your food, your houses. Any time you are living in the ground, you leave stuff behind. So we're looking for stuff, as an archaeologist, you're looking for stuff that people leave behind.
Wow, that is pretty darn cool. You are listening to the Children's Hour here on KUNM. We're talking with Sandra Arazi Combs. She's the archaeologist with the Cibola National Forest. And Linda Starr, she's from Sandia Grotto. She's not a spelunker, but a caver. I have to just ask, how long have people lived in this whole Sandia area?
We have evidence, it's kind of sporadic, but that dates to about 13,000 years ago.
On the actual mountain?
There's sporadic evidence. I mean, there's less of it. There's, that date to the, we have artifacts that we find that date to the Paleo-Indian period. So Sandia Cave is a little bit younger than that, but we have some stuff on occasion that's a little bit older that dates to the Clovis period.
Ah.
And so
you were talking before the break about Sandia Man was really a misnomer. There were bones of megafauna,
mm-hmm.
which... Wouldn't it be cool to see megafauna now? Those were like the giant versions of bears and giant versions of elephants.
Yeah.
Sadly, no more. But you were talking about how the archaeologist who found that kind of got confused about there really wasn't technically a Sandia Man.
Yeah.
Bummer to everybody else. Like, because you go in there and you hear about Sandia Man and you think, I don't want to see a skeleton when I come in here.
Well, it was kind of, you know, to talk about people... A long time ago, archaeologists, well, not that long ago, but archaeologists would, you know, Clovis was called Clovis Man, and Folsom was called Folsom Man. So it was supposed to be a type of culture and time period that was specific to this area.
But we don't really know that, do we? That's
well,
pretty hard to tell just from bones and things.
There are some artifacts. There was actually a stone tool that was found only in this area that dated to that period. It was very similar to... a type of artifact that was found in Europe during the Salutrian period, which was about 26,000 years ago.
Oh.
So that's also another reason that the archaeologists during that time thought, oh, maybe this is very similar to that. And it's a dart point, a very large point that has been, it's a little lopsided.
Wow. Yeah, you've got your kids
I
here.
I have my
They're,
kids
That's
here.
Okay. That's what's squirming around. It's the children's hour. We don't mind. Yeah, I hear you. Are you a caver? Wait, remind me your name again down there. Amari, right?
Amara.
Amara, are you a caver too? Have you crawled in that cave
Have
before?
Have you been in Sandia Cave?
Have you?
Yes.
That was a nodding of the head.
And my son, Elliot.
Elliot, you've been in Sandia Cave too?
Yes.
Is it fun for kids to climb around in Sandia Cave?
Yeah.
Why? Why did you have fun in there? What was fun about it?
I went deep in the cave and it was cool.
Do you bring a flashlight, Elliot? Or how do you...
There's a helmet with a light.
Smart, so you don't bang your head. Uh-huh. Do all cavers wear helmets?
Yeah.
Because it's probably pretty easy to bang your head in there, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
So is Sandia Cave scary for kids, or do you think it's just super cool and fun?
It's just fun.
And what was your favorite part about the cave?
I liked... Going in really deep.
Does it have a back? Can you go to the end of the cave?
I have not gone to the end.
Does it have a back? Go ahead, Linda, yeah.
It does have an end or a back to the cave, so you can wander in several thousand feet. But it's crawling, so it's not walking, and it's not real comfortable, and it's pretty dusty. So if you want to attempt going all the way back, you might want some kind of a dust mask or even a bandana around your face like a bandit, and that'll protect your lungs from breathing in the dust.
Is this a typical New Mexico cave, Linda? You've been in a lot of caves. Is this typical to have it be really dusty and also way up on the side of a cliff with stairs?
It's had a lot of use over the centuries. The use makes it dusty, and it's a dry environment, so it's dusty. Some of the caves in New Mexico are wet, and the caves down near Carlsbad Caverns are very dry, and some of them are dusty. Some of them are vertical caves where you have to go in on a rope. This is strictly a horizontal cave that you enter, you know, on your hands and knees.
I think it's a lot of fun to go to Sandia Cave, and I've been there a lot. And I have to just ask one quick question before Anna's got a burning question here, too. But did you all just restore Sandia Cave? And explain what that means that you restored it.
The Sandia Grotto worked with the Forest Service because the Forest Service wanted, and the grotto also wanted, to clean up the cave. We've been partnering with the Forest Service for a number of years, adopting the cave and bringing out trash, because I don't know, for some reason now, human beings seem to want to bring their trash into what is really a sacred place and leave their trash behind. Bottles and cans and broken glass and just, you know, messy stuff. And we've cleaned out the cave. But the main thing that we were doing last year to restore it was we were cleaning graffiti. And Sandra can add to this, because the Forest Service got a grant that we applied for to help restore the cave to its natural look, taking out the graffiti off the walls. So, Sandra, you want to?
Yes. So last year, the cave, the surface of the cave, especially the first and second chambers of the cave, were completely covered by a layer of very thick graffiti. And as Linda mentioned, this is a very special place. It's still special to several of the people that live in New Mexico and that have lived in New Mexico for a long time, and you know, just visitors. It's a very special place. And so it was a shame to see it covered to that extent with the amount of graffiti that was on the walls.
How wonderful that you all did that. I can't wait to see it all cleaned up and everything.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't the only place you've explored. If you're the Cibola National Forest archaeologist, I think Anna's got a really good question for you.
What other cool things have you found in the cave?
Or even just in the forest. I'm curious, yeah, too, to know, like, I know you found bones in the cave long ago. We didn't find those. But this is, you're an archaeologist for the forest, which tells me that there must be a lot of other cool things you're finding.
Oh, it's all over. I mean, anybody that's lived in New Mexico for a long time or for any amount of time knows that archaeology is really, you can find it all over the forest, all over our public lands, all over the place. I think on the district that I'm responsible for, which is basically the mountains in just outside of Albuquerque, the Sandia Mountains, and then the ones south of I-40, the Manzanita Mountains, we have almost 1,500 recorded sites just in that area. And then the Cibola National Forest has, you know, several thousand, probably 10,000.
So you mean as I'm walking through the woods, I'm probably walking by sites that you've already identified? And do you mark them in any way to make them, or do you protect them?
They're
in any way?
Protected. I mean, actually, site location is not something. We don't usually tell people exactly where everything is on the ground.
Me. Yeah. Good idea.
You know, there are some sites you can go visit. For instance, Tejeras Pueblo, which is right outside of the ranger station in Tejeras, is a great place. There's a interpretive center there. If you want to see archaeology, there's obviously stuff other places.
How neat. That
Coronado State Monument is another good place. You can actually go into a kiva and be a part of just the feel of being a Native American.
Wow.
Centuries ago.
That's so cool. Yeah, go ahead. Our brand new crew member here, Haley.
How do we find the cave?
Cavers look for caves by just being observant. And I think that's a good practice throughout life, is to be observant. We look for holes either down by our feet or, you know, off in the distance. If you see a hole, then we climb up to it and see if it goes. And when it goes, we say, cave ho! So mainly walking around and looking for holes. And if they breathe air, if they're blowing air, that's a good indication that they might go pretty far.
Thank you for being here. Anything else we should know?
Well, yes, there is something else you should know. The Grotto and the Forest Service are having a joint open house at the end of July, July 30th and 31st. And we are inviting the general public, that means you, to come up to the cave and check out the work that we've done, maybe even participate in some restoration. We're going to continue the work that we started last year, and there's lots to be done. So we're inviting the public up. That's July 30th and 31st.
And it's basically we're going to be doing some cleaning in the cave during that time. All of this was made possible based on a grant that was funded from the New Mexico Historic Preservation Division that gave us a $16,000 grant to fund the restoration of the cave and make it so beautiful and accessible to everybody.
That is wonderful. Yeah. Sandia Cave is located on that back road number...
New Mexico 165.
And it's the one that's between Placidus and the Crest. And I have to tell you, if you've never been to Sandia Cave, like most of these kids in the studio here today... After today, now that you know more about it, you really should go because it's pretty amazing. It's cool in there and it's pretty and it's got a great view from the doorway and a lot of steps climbing up. But you know what? The steps are easy and they're very safe. The Forest Service has made it so that it's really your kids will be fine climbing up there. I did one time go up there with a toddler. I would not recommend going up there with a toddler. I would actually not. That was sort of a mistake. But you know what? And if you've got a kid who's, you know, 4 or 5 and older, it's a lot of fun up there. Thank you both so much. Sandra Razi-Combs, she's from the Cibola National Forest. She's an archaeologist. And Linda Starr with Sandia Grotto. If folks want to get involved in Sandia Grotto, you all have a website.
Caves.org.
And then look up.
And then look up. I think there's a / in Sandia Grotto.
Neat. And you can probably do a search on there and find Sandia Grotto. And thank you so much. I'm going to be looking at the forest and the woods in a much different way, knowing there's all these secret sites all over the place.